This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Before getting into Surah Yusuf, or getting to Alif Lam, the first letters of Surah Yusuf, there, or Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, that's found at the beginning of the Surah, there is some introductory information that the scholars of Tafsir mention. And that pertains to the name of the Surah, its place of revelation, and the number of ayat in the surah. The scholars of tafsir, they mention this in their books. So as for the name of the surah, then it's Surah Yusuf. This is introductory information. As for the name of the surah, then it's Surah Yusuf. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the life of Yusuf alayhi salam in the surah. And it's an amazing surah because it's dedicated to the story of one prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we reveal to you the best of all stories. And all the stories in the Quran are the best of all stories. Where was the surah revealed? According to the majority of the scholars, the entire surah is Makki. According to the majority of the scholars, the entire surah is Makki. There is a second view, and it is said that Ibn Abbas radiallahu an and Qatada said that yes, the surah is Makki besides four ayat. That's ayah number 1, ayah number 2, ayah number 3, and ayah number 7. Ayah number 1, number 2, number 3, and number 7. So they say the surah is Makki except four ayat. This is Madani. This is Madani. How many ayat in Surah Yusuf? The scholars say there are 111 ayat according to the correct opinion. 111 ayat according to the correct opinion. We might not cover all 111 in our sitting, but we will, inshallah, try and cover the story, which is covered in about 102 ayat. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sort of closes the surah with ayat after he closes the actual story of Surah Yusuf. So I just said that majority of the scholars say the surah is Makki, right? What is Makki and what is Madani? What is Makki and what is Madani? Naam. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Naam. So the scholars have several views about what is Makki and what is Madani. We always, in some masahif, they write Surah Makkiya or Surah Madaniya. We always see this. The scholars have explanations about what is Makki and what is Madani. Some scholars base it on the place of revelation. So if a revelation happened in Mecca and its surrounding areas, then it's Makki. And if it happened in Medina and its surrounding areas, then it's Madani. And some other scholars base it on the time of revelation. And this is the correct view, as the brother said. The correct view is Makki are all ayat that were revealed before Hijrah to Medina. Any ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Medina is called Makki, irrespective of place. And any ayah that was revealed after Hijrah is considered Madani, irrespective of place. Even if the ayah was revealed in Mecca, if it was revealed after migration, it's Madani. And if it's revealed before migration, it's if you're all going to sleep from now, then I'm going to make you stand and do the lesson. Once again, if it's revealed before migration, it's aywa. Why were you so quiet? Why? Writing notes. MashaAllah. It's a good excuse. And if it's revealed after migration, it's called? I still can't hear you. Yes, it's recording and your voice has to go in this microphone. Otherwise, the people who watch it afterwards will think there was nobody in the venue. Okay. So the correct opinion, as we said, is ayat revealed before migration, this is called Makki. And ayat revealed after migration, this is called Madani. Barakallahu feekum. Tayyib. Why have the scholars classified Makki and Madani? To help us appreciate the eloquence of the Qur'an even more. Even more. Because the ayat that were revealed before migration had a specific theme and specific way and specific instruction. And the ayat that were revealed after migration, it's clearly noticed a different way, a different instruction, a different style. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Absolutely amazing. And this further makes us appreciate the eloquence of the Qur'an. And further, for those who ponder, we'll get to that, we'll get to that. So for example here, the scholars say, when we look at Makki ayat, we see the instruction in Makki ayat strong, stern, direct. When we look at Makki ayat, the instruction is stern, direct and candid, strong. And when we look at the ayah itself, we see they're shorter ayat. They are shorter ayat. And when we ponder over the meanings, we see it has high impact. There's a high impact in the meanings. Before migration to Medina, these are the ayat. And these ayat, in terms of the meanings and themes, had themes different to the Madani themes. Different to the Madani themes. Which again makes us appreciate the form of instruction and the wisdom of instruction. We find before migration to Medina, the theme of Tawheed was very strong in these ayat. And belief in the hereafter. And correct Islamic belief. This was very manifest before Hijrah. Let's take examples. Take examples that the last ajza of the Quran. How are the ayat? Most of them are all Makki, right? Amma yatasaalun anil naba'il azim alladhi hum fihi mukhtalifun kalla sayalamun thumma kalla sayalamun. Right? Short, high impact. Bang, 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 bang. Like you have an ice cube and you have a chisel and you're chipping away. And there was wisdom in this. Because the Quran was chipping away over the layers of shirk that was on the hearts of the mushrikun. They were engulfed in idolatry and belief in the way of the forefathers. And now a message different to what they were upon came. So when you chip at something, do you have hard knocks or is it short knocks? Short knocks, isn't it? You chip away, barakallahu fiqh. Hard knocks. Those who are saying hard, they don't know how to chip. Right? Even on the golf course, when you're chipping, do you take a full golf swing or is it a short golf swing? Appropriate to the amount the ball needs to be hit. It's short. You take short knocks. You take your chisel. Have you seen them when they're climbing the mountains, the ice mountains? And they're trying to chip into those large blocks of ice. They chip away. If you do one hard knock, you're going to break the whole thing in its entirety. But you chip away. So you preserve. You preserve what requires preserving. And you break away all the filth around it. And that which is excess to requirement. Like when they purify gold. They purify it in a way that the gold remains and everything else is removed. So this is what the Quranic instruction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through revelation, was chipping away at the hearts. Short. عما يتساءلون عن النبأ العظيم والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى. Short. High impact ayat that chip away the filth and open the heart towards understanding and common sense and belief in the unseen. That which the human being can't know by default. The human being doesn't know about Jannah and Jahannam and by default, because your mind understands its environment. This is why this is belief. This is why it's belief. Right? You have to believe in the hereafter. So the Quranic instruction was doing this. Thus, when we look at the Makki ayat, we see these specifics and we say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. It makes us appreciate the Quranic instruction even more. When we say the Quran is a miracle, it's a book that is unmatched and can never be produced till the day of Qiyamah. All these things have to be taken into consideration. It's not a matter of putting Arabic words together. And even if they tried, it would never match the way Allah's revelation is. Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal al-Wahid al-Qahhar. When we look at the Makki ayat, we see this form of rhyming in instruction. Right? Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses specifics, it comes in a specific, we wouldn't say rhyme, because the Quran is far higher than what we consider rhyming and poetry. But we see there's a match. And then when the instruction changes, it starts matching. Right? It has this cunning ability to absorb you, right? So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَى وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى وَالسَّابِحَاتِ سَبْحَى فَالسَّابِقَاتِ سَبْقَى فَالْمُدَبِّرَاتِ أَمْرَى. You see? Then, يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَةِ. It changes from تَتْبَعُهَا الرَّادِفَةِ. It's like rajifah. قُلُوبُي يَوْمَئِذٍ وَاجِفَةٍ أَبْصَارُهَا خَاشِعَةٍ يَقُولُونَ أَإِنَّا لَمَرْدُودُونَ فِي الْحَافِرَةِ أَإِذَا كُنَّا عِظَامًا نَخِرَةٍ. You see? قَالُوا تِلْكَ إِذًا كَرَّةٌ خَاسِرَةٌ فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةِ. We're done. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. Now it's changed.
إِذْ نَادَاهُ رَبُّهُ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى.
مُوسَى طُوَى. اِذْهَبْ إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ طَغَى فَقُلْ هَلْ لَكَ إِلَى أَنْ تَزَكَّى وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَتَخْشَىٰ. Are you following? This is the Quranic instruction. It's absorbing you. It's absorbed you. You have no choice but to be absorbed by it. Whether you believe in it or you don't. Like the statement of Walid ibn Mughirah. In disbelief, he had the Quran and he went back to the Quraysh and said, وَاللَّهِ إِنَّا لَهُ لَحَلَاوَةٌ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَطَلَاوَةٌ. He says this has an unmatched sweetness, an unmatched ability to incline you towards listening to it, despite what we think of Muhammad, and despite what we think about the message. This is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is Makki ala kulli hal. These are Makki ayat. Then we have Madani ayat, which are different to the Makki ayat. They are longer in instruction. They mention the laws of Islam. Laws weren't mentioned in Mecca, right? They weren't. And this is amazing, an amazing lesson from the way Allah revealed the Quran to the du'at, those who invite towards Islam. That when you invite someone to Islam, invite them towards Tawheed. Don't invite them towards leaving alcohol and dressing in hijab. That will come as a result of Tawheed. Invite them. This was what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was doing in the revelation. Subhanallah. Before migration, it was Tawheed and the hereafter and Jannah and Jahannam and the grave and the punishment of the grave for those who don't adhere and the prize for those who practice and Jannatu Adn, the perpetual permanent gardens of the hereafter, which they couldn't understand. Right? Like in the surah we read, they were saying, أَإِنَّا لَمَرْدُودُونَ فِي الْحَافِرَةِ أَإِذَا كُنَّا عِظَامًا نَخِرَةً. Are we going to be brought back to life when we have become bones desecrated? Right? when you pass away and go into the grave, your body becomes dissolved. They said, can this happen? Allah says, فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةُ وَاحِدَةٌ فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةِ It's not a matter of can it happen. It's just one instruction. And they will all be awake standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not a matter of I was buried and then my body was consumed by certain insects and those insects traveled through the earth and those insects were eaten by other insects and those insects by other insects and then those insects died and became manure and fertilized grass and then cows ate from that grass. So my body has gone through, can this come back? Allah says, one instruction and you will could be and you will be in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the first creation and the last creation quicker than the blink of an eye. The Madani ayat after migration were different. Why? These were people of iman and these were people of belief. These were sahaba who were migrating to Medina. They believed in Allah. They believed in the last day. Their hearts were mature. Thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Medina long ayat. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إنما الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأزلام رجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوه لعلكم تفلحون. Long ayat. Oh, you who believe, indeed gambling and alcohol is from the work of shaitan, stay away from it. Now the fiqh was coming down. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا قمتم إلى الصلاة فاغسلوا وجوهكم وأيديكم إلى المرافق وامسحوا برؤوسكم وأرجلكم إلى الكعبين. Long ayat, oh you who believe, when you stand for the prayer, the ayat of wudu, this is known as the ayah of ablution. Wash your faces and your hands up to your elbows and wipe over your heads and wash your feet up to your ankles and so on and so forth. Now instruction was coming down. When the iman was there, they were open towards accepting what this iman necessitated from hijab and leaving alcohol and all the rules of Islam. You see the wisdom behind the revelation of the Quran. So Makki and Madani, has it, understanding it, has it not helped us appreciate the Quran even more? Have you thought about the Quran this way before? Have you? Have you appreciated the eloquence of the Quran even more as a result of this discussion? By Allah, this can only happen to you because you see, now there's a new dimension to your understanding. Allah challenges those to try and produce a Quran like this. Now, I have a question for you, because we must test understanding. Who's read Surah Yusuf? Read it. Put up your hand if you've read Surah Yusuf. Right. You've just learnt about Makki and Madani, and you've just learnt that Surah Yusuf is a Makki surah. Does Surah Yusuf, in terms of the length of the ayat and the themes, comply to what we've just discussed in terms of the specifics of Makki? Yes or no? Right. So, we have a problem now. We've just spent all this time discussing this. Did you make a mistake and switch it? You meant Madani instead of Makki. Our notes, we've written down notes. Do we have to cancel the page? No. No, we don't. We don't. Why? Because when the scholars cite down certain principles, they cite it down based on the majority of circumstances. There are certain specific acceptances. However, they cite it down based on the majority of circumstances. And as the scholars say, al-ibrah bil-ghalib, that what's looked at is the majority of the circumstances. And this, what we shared with you is the majority of the Meccan ayat. But there can be exceptions to it, like we see in Surah Yusuf. But when we look at the reason why it was revealed, we'll appreciate why it's Makki even more, bi-ithnillah ta'ala. Tayyib. Are we all clear and all good? Any questions very quickly? Alhamdulillah. Tayyib. Next point, the reason that the scholars of tafsir cite is the reason for revelation. Why was some ayat in the Quran or some surah have reasons of revelation known as asbab and nuzul? Some have, some don't. Surah Yusuf is reported to have a reason of revelation. And the scholars have cited different takes on this, given what's come to them from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one view is that Surah Yusuf was revealed after the Jews attempted to test the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in an effort to discredit him. Why? Because Yusuf alayhi salam is from the prophets of Banu Israel, of the Jews. So they wanted to test Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They said, look, if he's a prophet and he's an Arab, they thought that the prophet would be from them, right? So they wanted to test him. They say, look, if he's truly a prophet, he should know about Yusuf. So they tried to discredit him and ask him about Yusuf alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. We reveal to you the best of stories. Thus, their plot fell on them. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of the surah, and we'll come to it, which the scholars of tafsir have deduced from, they say, Allah, we deduce from this that Allah has revealed to Muhammad specifics about Yusuf that even the Jews didn't know. So not only were they told about him, but they were told even extra matters to requirement. So it was a plot that fell on their face, that yes, I am a prophet, and I do gain revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How are you, Akhi Hisham? Why are you late, ya Akhi? Long story. Well, let me give you the short story. The short story is you missed some important information. That's the short story. Tayyib, inshallah. Try not to be late again. So this is one explanation. There's some scholars have narrated this reason of revelation as the Jews wanting to test the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they say they didn't go to him directly. One narration says they went to him directly. One narration says they went to the Quraysh and said, go ask him, because they knew the Quraysh were against him. So they said, to expose him, go ask him about Joseph, Yusuf alaihi salam, and let's see what he says, and we will endorse what he said or consider it invalid. Then we can expose him to be a liar and fabricator. So the Quraysh went to ask, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the surah. Another version states that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is a report by Al-Hakim, he says that Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu reported that the Quran was being revealed, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was relaying it to the companions until a time when they requested and said, please relate to us stories. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, we relate unto you the best of stories through our revelations unto you, which is the third ayah of Surah Yusuf. So he was giving them, he was saying Allah has revealed this and teaching it to them. So they said, please tell us stories. Thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Yusuf. Then he continues to say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us stories until a time when we said that, O Prophet of Allah, now please remind us. Give us reminders. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, has not the time come for the hearts of those who believe to be affected by Allah's reminder? In Surah Al-Hadid, Ayah 16. And this is amazing hadith. Who can tell me what we can learn from this hadith? What we can learn for a prize? I will give you a prize. I don't know yet what the prize will be. But this is not transactions where you have to know what you're going to get. As we discussed, there's no gharar or jahala here. I'll give you a prize, bi-indillahi ta'ala, for the person who answers this question, who gives me a lesson that we can derive from pondering over this revelation. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would receive revelation and he would teach the Sahaba. And then they said, tell us stories. So then he told them stories. Then they said, please remind us. So then he reminded them. Who can deduce something for us? Don't be scared. You're allowed to make mistakes here. But when you walk out that door, be scared. Don't speak about the Sharia or speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Quran through guesswork. But here, for the purpose of education, Let's give it a try. Do any of the sisters want to participate? Because they say ladies first. And I know the men in the break will take up all the time and so on and so forth. So let's balance it. Go ahead. That's true, definitely. And that's clearly understood from the hadith. I want a deduction in terms of us and our application in our life today. You're on the point. I think if you tweaked it a little bit more, you'd get it. I think you would. Anybody else? Yes, go ahead. That's not what I'm looking for. Dave, let's pass it on to the brothers. Go ahead, Akhil Kari. Oh, it's someone who put up his hand for here first. Somebody with mashallah, the turbinator. Stand up, brother. The stories of the Prophet should help them. No. Now, stand up. Go ahead. You have a loud voice. With that loud voice, give it to us, mashallah. Yes.
Given the teachings of Islam like this, the companions would listen to the message. There is a time for your mind to relax when the message is so hard. So then tell us the story to relax them a bit. Then they did not want to be carried away with the story. Okay, give us a reminder again.
MashaAllah.
So,
MashaAllah. So how does this apply to you?
Because in a garden like this, the message is coming. Feel that this message is too mighty. Then you
if you're a teacher, how would this apply to you?
From a teacher, there is a time to relax to carry along the student.
Ahsan. Yeah. Ahsan. This is, we learn from this, how to educate the ummah. We should be diverse in our instruction. This is what makes a great teacher. That's why Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the great teacher. He was being nurtured by the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was dynamic in his instruction. Barakallahu feek. You deserve a prize, Akhil Karim. What's the prize? Barakallahu feek.
My name is Abu Abdullah.
Barakallahu feek. And what prize did you get? Let's see if it's valuable. Oh, Manhaj al-Salikin, mashallah. You got the DVDs for it. Barakallahu feekum. Tayyib. You see, so you share the ilm and you got more ilm. Manhaj al-Salikin is the brief fiqh course we discussed in February. Tayyib. We have to be dynamic and diverse in our instruction. Don't keep, even as a parent, don't keep pounding your child. Do, don't do. And pounding and pounding. Halal, haram. It has to be, you have to be diverse and dynamic in your instruction. If you're a teacher and you have students, be dynamic in your instruction. Right? Give them intellectual breaks. We always talk about having a break. Right? We need a break, isn't it? And we say, let's go for a break. Even in the lesson, during the lesson, when the body's not taking a break, give the mind an intellectual break. Meaning, it's still thinking, but it has a break. By being diverse in your instruction. Sometimes teach through stories. Sometimes teach through instruction. Sometimes teach through reminders. And learn from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best teacher. Who learned from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tayyib, barakallahu feekum. The next point I want to discuss with you brothers and sisters is, when was Surah Yusuf revealed? When was Surah Yusuf revealed? Right? We know it was revealed before migration. But when? Exactly. The reason why I want to highlight this is so you appreciate the impact of the surah when it was revealed on the Muslims. And perhaps it will have an impact in your life today. In your life today. The scholars say, rahmatullahi alayhim, that it was revealed just before migration to Medina. Just before. Now, understand this point. Because what happened prior to its revelation? If it was revealed just before migration to Medina, what happened prior to revelation? Well, prior to revelation, we have Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becoming a prophet. And when he became a prophet, the Muslims were boycotted in Shi'b Abi Talib. You remember? Until they left the message, no trade, no medicine, no food. Right? The clans came to an agreement to boycott them, to sanction them. Today we hear of countries being sanctioned. They were also sanctioned. Was this ease or difficulty? Was it ease or difficulty? Great difficulty. طيب. Then, after these years of being sanctioned and living in difficulty, Allah was training the believers. Training the believers. After this, after it, Allah ended that difficult test for them, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost Abu Talib, a great supporter. And after that lost Khadija radiallahu anha, a great supporter. It was known as the year of sorrow. He lost two special people to him. And he lost Abu Talib without him having accepted Islam. How difficult was this upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Persecuted by the Quraysh. Then sanctioned. Then losing his greatest supporters. And thus, he decides to go to Ta'if and say, maybe there will be mass welcoming there for this message. Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best da'i. He was the best at what he did. He wasn't any da'i. When he was sent as a prophet, he was going to be the best prophet. Thus, he would hurt if somebody died upon shirk. If he lost that chance to allow this person to die upon Islam. It wasn't a case as he passed away khayran. There's plenty fish in the sea. Like what we would say. No. He would hurt about it. Subhanallah. And I say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ. Subhanallah. Meaning, perhaps you will kill yourself because of the rejection of your message. Allah was telling him because he was hurting, he was burning. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَرَاتٍ. Don't let yourself perish because of them. It's enough for you to convey the message. It's not your job to convert them, O Muhammad. See Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all these difficulties. Then he goes to Ta'if. What happens in Ta'if? Stoned. His shoes is made to become filled with his blessed blood, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All these difficulties. And it was here that Surah Yusuf was revealed. Amazing. Because Surah Yusuf is the surah of being tested and surviving being tested. It's the surah of patience and being magnanimous in your patience. It's the story of a father who lost his beloved son for decades. It's the story of a son who was abducted from his father for decades. And it's a story of people who ended up upon goodness and tawheed and khair, irrespective of the difficulties. So understand, O Muhammad, and understand, O Sahaba, and us here today, understand, O Muslims, journey through the difficulties. For the end is success. Allah was nurturing them. They're human beings. It's tough. It's tough. Thus, have the story. Because stories make us happy. And Quranic stories are not like any story. There's lessons in it, as we will see. Inshallah, by the end of the 2 days, inshallah, we will amass close to 1,000 lessons from the surah. Lessons that have a place in our lives, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So appreciate Surah Yusuf even more, O servants of Allah, and O children of Adam, for Allah caused ease to the hurt of the Muslims by revealing the surah. By revealing this surah. Stories take our minds off things, and stories bring peace, especially when we learn about the reality of those before us. And the ulama have explained that the revelation was a means of alleviating the pain of the believers as they suffered at the hands of the Quraysh and the idolaters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to seek comfort from the Quran and its message. Ameen. Tayyib. That is with regards to the preliminary information.